Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back with another episode of Everything You Need to Know About. And today we are talking Rick Devins from Edge of Extinction, finally getting his return. I mean, I think after season 38, people were expecting Rick would be on the island for 40, and then 40 was Winners at War. And it's like, okay, but the next time there's a returning player season, he'll be on it. I mean, he's the first co-host.
6 years later.
Yeah, he's the first co-host of the On Fire podcast with Jeff. So it's very clear that Jeff and production love him. So it just comes down to they couldn't find a way to get him on. And now here he is playing again. He's 41 years old now. He was 33 the first time he played, which honestly, I thought he was going to be a little bit older than 33 the first time he played. He was on that absolutely dreadful Manu tribe that then became the Lesu tribe, you know, and he got voted out really early. And then he came back into the game and he makes an unbelievably deep run and was essentially who everybody was rooting for throughout the entirety of Edge of Extinction. He holds the record for the most immunity idols found or received in a single season with 4. Rick Devins has that record out of all people. And that's really what there is to know about him. He got 12 votes against him on his first season and he was only voted out once because then he loses fire. So he gets 3 votes at the episode where he's voted out. He gets 9 other votes throughout the rest of the season. So he's always kind of being targeted. He negates a couple. I think he plays 2 successful idols in the season. He plays 1 successfully when Ron goes home. He plays another successfully when Victoria goes home. So Devins, 4th place finisher from Survivor Edge of Extinction. After all of that, finally coming back, he's a confessional machine. He has been on the beach with Aubrey, even though they didn't actually play real Survivor together. It was more of just like hang out at the Edge of Extinction for a little bit together. But what do you got about Rick Devins, Blake?
I just nice realized this intro. Based on what you said. Rick gets voted out on day 11. Mm-hmm. Rick comes back. Rick gets voted out on day 31, but has an idol. Rick gets voted out on day 36. But has an idol. Mm-hmm. And then Rick loses fire on day 38. So potentially Rick went home 4 times.
Yeah.
One season.
Yeah.
It's so funny to me. We did mention in some of these others, like, oh, they've played most phases of every game. And Rick played a pre-merger. So sad. What are we going to do? I wish he would come back. Well, he did in his own season.
Yeah.
And he it's crazy. How did he beat Chris Underwood? Well, Chris Underwood had to untie a whole bunch of knots, and that's why Rick Devins gets to have a second life and be on a second season. And It's very interesting. You said everyone was rooting for him. I think he's a very polarizing character in our community.
I think at the time he was very heavily rooted for. I think since his season, people have gone cold on him.
We're in different groups of the fan base sometimes. And the people that aren't the gay guys and the crew were just, he was driving them crazy. But here's what I'm going to say. It's about Rick. So let me center it around Rick. Rick is a very, I am a newsman. And he was doing that on the island of welcome to Fiji. Where are they in Fiji? They're in Fiji, of course. Yeah. Welcome to Fiji. The weather is this, this, and this. And some people were eating that up. I don't know if it's middle America. I don't know if it's whatever I'm trying to say. But a few people were like, if he does that again, I'm going to absolutely scream. And I think he was such a main character where it's like, well, I prefer Kelly Wentworth, or what does Lauren have to say? Or even what's her face? Who's the girl he fought with for hours? Aurora.
Yeah.
Aurora, Victoria. Like, what, can we get stuff from someone else? And it was like, no, this is literally the Rick Devon show, but it does make sense because he has all the statistics. He has all the thought process. And then I think there's even the moments where he's like, Ron, are you trying to make me look bad in front of my family? Where some people ate that up and some people were like, is this guy a loser?
Well, let me give you some numbers here, because this is why your version of the Survivor community absolutely hated Rick Devons. You ready for this?
He had 900 confessionals.
He had 63. Not that many, right? Okay. In the grand scheme of Survivor, 63.
How many did Reem have that same season?
Well, hang on. Let me get to that in a second. But when you think about the seasons around him, Island of the Idols, the most for anybody was Tommy with 52. David vs. Goliath, the most for anybody was 54 for Angelina. Ghost Island, Dominic had 67. But you still had Wendell, who had 39. You had Kellen, who had 41. So you had some people who were grabbing some screen time. Ben had 70 in Healers, Hustlers. Chrissy had 51. Ryan had 49. Actually, a really evenly edited season. But here's the thing. Because of Edge of Extinction, he gets 63 confessionals. 32 of those come in the final three episodes of the season. So obviously the 2-hour finale where the story is really around him and Chris. And then episodes 12 and 13, he gets 32 confessionals. The second most confessionals on that season were Julie Rosenberg with 32. So Rick Devons in the final three episodes of the season gets as many confessionals as the person on his season with the second most. And I think that's why he started to drive people crazy. 248% of what the actual confessional count should have been is what he hit for his season.
It was the Rick Devon show so much that I do understand. But it was, we cannot focus on the winner because the winner is not in any of this stuff. And I think that was hey, this is a puzzle for our editors. And it's like, well, why are you making a puzzle for your editors? God damn it.
Yeah. Maybe you just shouldn't have done Edge of Extinction, right?
It's so hard to cohesively do this.
It's crazy though, because like when you look at Rick and you see how good he is at confessionals, it was just a matter of time before he was coming back. Cause even, it's the Rick Devon show. I'm tired of seeing Rick. Okay. But Rick is going to bring it from a confessional standpoint in a way that production wants and Jeff wants. That's why he's on fire, right? Like Rick is good at what he does. So now Rick Devons, he's going to come out. He's going to play Survivor again. Here he is. Does Rick Devons actually have the game to play with these people? He's been on a beach with Aubrey. He was on the jury with Aubrey. But he doesn't do anything else with Aubrey, right? He doesn't actually play Survivor with Aubrey. That's his only connection. He is the most recent player pre-season 40 to be on the season because nobody from 39 and everybody else's original season is 37 or earlier. So he doesn't have many connections. He's kind of towing that line. I don't know what his relationships are with the new era. I don't know what his relationships are with anybody other than Aubrey. And I really don't even know what his relationship is with Aubrey. We see him get saved by two idols. We see him also get voted out fourth on his season. Does Rick Devons actually have what it takes to be anything more than just a confessional giver?
I think it's very interesting because on that season, you're not saying this about Gavin of like, oh, you got to go to about fourth because he was on Joe's team.
Yeah.
And Joe just kicked all these people's ass over and over and over again. So it is kind of, it can Rick Devens get some support from a challenge monster? If Rick Devens is on the same team as Jonathan Young, or Ozzy still got the gas, and I think he would, let's ride this. I've been on the opposite side of this. Let's not mess with our tribe strength. If we are winning, let's get out the weakest person. Is Rick Devens going to be the weakest person on the Tribe of Eight? Probably not.
Do you know how many immunity challenges he won?
Zero.
Four individual immunity challenges. Rick Devens won four individual immunity challenges.
What are you talking about? Really?
Yeah. He won four individual immunity challenges. And
am I stupid?
He played two idols to save himself. That's why Rick Devens.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. Okay. Let's pay attention here.
Yeah. So he won four.
I forgot about that layer of the game. So I think he was just motivated to win. But like, these are the people that went out on the times that Rick won immunity. Kelly, Wardog, Aurora, and Lauren. I remember him winning at Lauren's time.
Yeah, so, because that maybe comes down to Lauren with the idol. Yeah.
So this is almost worse than, okay, let me do some actual thought process. Poor David Wright going home, that part. What's crazy about this is David Wright goes home, immunity, fire. That is his record. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that. It's everything you need to know. It's everything you are going to remember. It's everything you need to remember.
Six consecutive tribal councils where he cannot be eliminated from the game, either because of his idol or because he won immunity. And then he goes in and he goes against fire. And this is when fire was even more controversial because it was so close to Heroes, Healers, Hustlers.
I would have been so annoyed with Rick Devens if I was on his season of like, he's already been voted out. Mm-hmm. We've tried to vote him out twice. He keeps getting idols. He has the four idols somehow and four immunities. It's like, how did he go home? Okay. The only way possible. You make me look bad in front of my kids. Like, it is interesting because Chris Underwood does the whole, I think Rick Devens would win fire against these other two people. I'm going to put myself in. I think that whole strategy, that losing at fire, how many people on Hands in the Fans, Fire Makers, how many lost? So it's going to be Camilla, Devens. We should have had this information ready to go. And
I wasn't ready for this question.
Asking questions like this. But it is like, obviously, I think Devens will have a large rooting base.
And Jonathan.
And Jonathan. Interesting. Camilla, Jonathan, and Rick Devens, they're going to... How did you lose the game? I lost in fire. Oh, should we align? Like, I think there will be some camaraderie in some of those things of like, I have talked to 9,000 people since my season ended about losing in fire, and nobody gets how heartbreaking it is. But when I talk to Camilla and Jonathan, they do understand. Let's be in an alliance. Like, I think if Rick is with Jonathan Young next to him, I think not only would people root against that, but like, I think that would be very successful for both of them.
Yeah. So I guess that's where I want to go with this, because Rick isn't old school, right? I mean, again, six consecutive challenges.
Rick could come on a New Era season and do the same thing. Yes.
Yeah. He goes six consecutive tribal councils where he is safe either from an idol he found or from an idol he won. So who do you see him aligning with? Does he go with some of the old school people? Is he going with the New Era people? What's his threat level coming into this? Because that's always the funny thing, right? With Survivor Edge of Extinction, it's the third boot versus the fourth boot, right? And that's always the joke surrounding this season. And so when you look at Devens, is Devens actually that good at Survivor? Is his threat level high? Are people concerned about Rick Devens, the 41-year-old, you know, he doesn't look like Jonathan Young. You know what I mean? But he's witty as hell. He's going to make you laugh. He's going to eat up a lot of your screen time, though, if you're worried about, you know, you want to be the star of this season. Who's working with Devens, and are they worried about him winning the game?
I think my favorite Devens story or thought process is everyone was introducing themselves at the start of the season.
It's the best.
And it didn't make it to air because I think they would have, oh, it confuses the dumb people that watch Survivor. And we're catering to the dumb people that watch Survivor instead of the super fans. And they're not called super fans. The more nuanced watchers of Survivor. They go down the line and War Dog says, "My name is War Dog," and doesn't say his real name because he never does. I don't even know what War Dog's real name. It could be Anthony.
Da Silva.
Banda Silva?
Dan Da Silva.
Oh my God. Poor War Dog's never getting back on Survivor. So War Dog says, "My name is War Dog," and then they go to Rick Devins. It probably goes, "You with the glasses, what's your name?" And he says, "This is kind of awkward, but my name is also War Dog."
Amazing.
And so I good. Think about that not every day, but I think about that maybe once every year and a half since it happened. And it brightened.
Oh no, Blake completely dropped off. I don't know what happened. He said it completely brightens his day, and then for some reason he just didn't want to be in here anymore. Even when we record these, we pre-record these and they're still coming out live. So hopefully Blake comes back in here shortly. If he doesn't come in a sec, there he is. It brightens your day, Blake. It brightens your day. What happened?
I think we just had a power outage.
That was random. Well, it brightens your day and I was able to rebound quick. No problem.
Yeah, it is literally the funniest icebreaker I think I've seen. If somebody said that, we should be friends. And that would immediately be like, no wonder he made it for the first three boots of his tribe. I don't think he went home because he sucked. I think he went home because they were bad at challenges. And it was like, you're just the next one up. How unfortunate. So that was his legacy for his first vote out. But,
because they did that swap. You know, he was on the original Manu. He got in really close with David Wright. It seemed like he was going to be okay. And then they do the swap where all of the Lesus stay together. And I think Wendy, if I'm not mistaken, is the one who gets sent to the other tribe. And that's who they all wanted to vote out, was going to be right. Wendy. Like, that's what they were keeping her around for. And then Lesu loses, so they don't have anybody else to vote out. And obviously, Lauren and Kelly aren't going to vote against each other. So it came down to, where is War Dog going to fit into this? And that's why when Rick comes back into the game, War Dog goes up and is like, "You want to play again together?" And Rick's like, "Yeah, of course I do." And he has that really snarky, "Why would I want to do that? You all voted me out." And it's like, but they literally only voted Rick out because they had to. They didn't want to vote Rick out. There just was no other option at that point. And War Dog was trying to keep around the bigger threats of David and Kelly at that point. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like why Rick goes home for that. But Rick's not going to be he's not a great challenge competitor despite winning all of those individual immunities in the second half of the game. A lot of it just kind of hit his wheelhouse. And Joe's not there. And the comma people didn't know how to play the game because they were just sitting there hanging out with Joe. Like, in terms of physical portion, they were like, "Well, we can rely on Joe." And then they couldn't. So now Joe is like, "Well, what do we do?" And then you had Chris also not there. So like the bigger, stronger guys weren't there. So I don't know if he can survive the pre-merge portion of the game. I just don't know if he can do it. If it's going to be double boots the entire time, as we're assuming it is, I just don't know how he survives the pre-merge portion of the game.
I mean, he's very witty. He could be on a kind of good tribe. And if he's the fifth person in an alliance of five, make it through that. Mm-hmm. And then it's time to swap. And it's, I think you're under, not you are not. I think someone would underestimate him of who's going to be the most idol hungry of these people. I think Rick Devins is probably looked up trees in Fiji for phrenology and was like, "Where do all the holes on all these trees exist? Where could I go?" I think he's, when Russell came back, did he get a bunch of idols and heroes versus villains? Of course. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is my MO. This is how I play. If there's a nighttime excursion where you have to wake up at 4 a.m, that's the one that Rick Devin's going to be doing. He is that person for this cast of 24. So I would bet he does get through that phase. I do have Rick Devins in my top 10 of, like, not top 10, but like make it to the final 10 is the word we use, because of how never say die. And he is a perfect mix of both of these halves of cast of, like, of course I'll work with these old school. I'm an old school relative to these. And then also, like, I'm sure there's going to be at least two people that I loved you on your season. That you got me off the couch, basically. Where, like, I think you and I idolize some of those old school people, but, like, some of the newer players are watching through the 30s and 30s and doing that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my biggest thing with Rick is, does he run into the exact same problem that he ran into with Edge of Extinction, which is everybody likes him, but he's just on that disaster tribe where he becomes expendable.
Right.
That's what I worry with him. And I feel like he could very well be on the disaster tribe. Devins needs to be on a starting tribe with Jonathan or Joe. That's what I think he needs in order to get to the post-merge portion of the game.
All right. What else do you need to know about him? I think there was a large thought process of if we could, maybe he should replace Jeff Probst. If there's a person who's going to be on the show is the new host. He's the Ken Jennings of the Survivor thought process. I know some people immediately barfed in their mouth when I said that, though, because I do think he's more polarizing than you think.
No, I think I agree with you. I just think during his season, he was really the only one that people could. I mean, look, I was all over Victoria.
What are we going to do? Get Gavin to give a confessional about this?
Like, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It just seemed like he was the only one that people were pulling. Like, casuals love Rick Devins. Right. Casual fan base loves him.
I would almost say he is. I mean, Christian Hubicki was first. But I think Rick Devins is like Christian Hubicki has some crossover from casuals and supers, but Rick Devins is clearly new era, not new era, but like casuals, like favorite person.
Yeah. Do you think that there's any possibility that there could be an alliance of the On Fire podcast hosts with Charlie and D?
I'm assuming they're all going to be in separate things.
You would think, but then again, if these are truly Jeff's favorites.
I don't know. Like I haven't listened to any of the On Fire podcasts, but I do a podcast on the side with my friend Phil about Survivor, and it would be interesting if Blake. I mean, we did do this. It's like we've played poker together. We've played a board game together where it's Blake, Phil, and Will, and two or three other people, a wife, a friend, a friend's wife, are playing a board game, and it is like. Equal parts, like I know how Phil operates, but I'm like using it to beat him, not let's work together. And it is like the last, like I could definitely see D or Charlie being like, I don't want Rick Devins to do better than me. I want to be the best podcast one, if that matters to them. I don't think that matters to D. I could see Charlie like, oh, I voted out Rick Devins. I'm the best On Fire podcast person.
I think what's interesting is if there's anybody from the old school, and I'm talking old school is pre-40. I know people are, that's not old school, but it is for the sake of this because it's 12 pre-40 and it's 12 new era. If anybody from pre-40 is going to work with the post-40 people to get further in the game and be that person who makes it 5-3 and not 4-4, I think it's Rick Devins. I think he is the one person who would be willing to do that and say, screw it. I'm going that way. And I'm going to try to play this where now I'm in the middle of these two alliances of two and go from there and see what he can do. Because I just think that he probably fits better with them than he does with Colby and Jenna and Stephanie and Sari. And I think that's the way he's going to play.
This is somebody that hasn't played four times. So it's not like we're padding out stuff. I'm just thinking of new things to do with them. Who is a All-Stars game that you think Rick could play on his, of model his after somebody on a Heroes versus Villains or a Micronesia or a Game Changers? Of like, where do you think he fits? I think
he's probably like Penner. That's what I think. I think he's probably like Penner.
And Penner didn't do that well.
Well, Penner got hurt. Penner was playing a very good game in micro and then got hurt. If he doesn't get hurt, like he's ready. He has the numbers and the army ready. We just rewatched that season not too long ago for Every Season Matters. He's ready to go. And I think that's the type of game that Devins needs to play, where Penner should have been seen as more of a weasel and as more of a threat. And he wasn't. And I could see Devins being that. And Devins is also a phenomenal confessional giver. Just like Penner's probably the greatest confessional giver in Survivor history. Devins is right there with him. And I think that that's the route he could go, where it's like, no, don't worry about this. Like, we got this. It's going to be you and me, and we're going to take out this person's a threat, and we're just going to roll. Like, that's what Penner was doing, and it was working. And I know we don't get to see that come to fruition because he gets pulled from the game, but if he doesn't get pulled from the game, he probably goes much deeper in that season.
Do you think he cracks the only time a female alliance has dominated?
Yeah. I don't think I always say Parvati's legacy in this show is so influenced by Jonathan Penner being pulled from the game.
Hater squad. I think, let me look up what was Jeremy's season called? Game Changers, right?
Second Chances.
Second Chance. I always like Second Chances and Game Changers is always a thing where you're like, what's going on here? Cause who almost got there? Survivor Second
Chance. Wentworth, Keith Nail. They were the people who were right around.
Oh, I think maybe like a Savage. Does that make sense? Or is that being a little ridiculous?
I think Savage is a little bit more aggressive than Devin's. I don't think Devin's would play a game like Savage. Savage okay. is so old school in his mindset. I don't think he'd play like
that. I think what I'm trying to say is Rick Devin's is like, Rick Devin's could be the merge boot of this season. Of like,
yeah, I could see that.
I've had enough. We can't let him get to individual immunities because I think what's funny is Survivor. I would never, ever remember. I didn't. That Rick Devin's won 4 immunities, mm-hmm. but immunities for individuals is like balance, craftiness of like mm-hmm. puzzles, and then like sheer strength. And like maybe there's a speed element every once in a while, but I think he's so much better at like craftiness and puzzles maybe. And he wants it more that like that little bit matters where it's being like, let's just eliminate him from the ability to beat us, like he'll be the merge boot.
Here's the last thing I'll say about Devin's before we wrap this up. I think one benefit he also has is that he played on a season with players who were returning. So, and his closest ally was David. So he gets to talk to David and say, what did you do to help yourself with threat management? Like, because you made it further than you ever should have. I mean, David Wright never should have made it as far as he did in Edge of Extinction after his Millennials versus Gen X game. Like, there's no way. And so I think that helps him. He can have those conversations with David. He saw what Kelly Wentworth did to get further in the game, you know, and he knows also what didn't work for Joe and Aubrey. So I think that is an added benefit for him coming into this season for sure.
And that's Rick Devin's. He's going to be the host one day. Are we going to use the picture of me and him at the bar for the thumbnail for this one?
We could if you really want to. We're not going to, but do you have that picture handy right now that you can throw up right here at the end as like a as for fun? For
no, people? that'd be fun though.
Let me see. I might have it. You sent it to me not too long ago. Sheesh. Yeah, Blake, this is actually worth it, everybody, so that you guys can see what a strapping young lad Blake was just a couple of years ago. Jesus, if I can find this picture, it's great.
Pandemic ruined me, man.
Pandemic ruined everyone, Blake. Let's see. Here it is. Oh, we have one of you and Angelina, too.
We'll no, save I that. Know. Just ready? Save that.
You all ready?
Can you Whoa. See that? Whoa. This is the Blake smile of approval.
I can't tell even what you can see.
I also smile that big next to Nora, though. So I can do all things through the power of
fire. Come on, man. Nora is great. I love Nora.
I wish Nora was strapping up for season 50.
Nora. Are you kidding? Nora and Carolyn should be on the same tribe right now. Let's do it. All right. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. That's everything you need to know about Rick Devin's. Make sure you keep checking out all these episodes. We're putting out one for all 22. I don't know what number this is. I have no idea. We're putting
it's
these
7.
Out in order. It's happening.
Let me just lock into putting this 7.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.